So, one more time, I say welcome to another Neil's Minutes. Kind of random conversations with God. He's not random, but he talks to me random times about things that I'm not thinking about, things that I haven't pondered. And I've been studying the scripture in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, 1 through 6. Been reading it over again a few times, but the part that grasped me is he created all things by the word of his power, not the power of his word, the word of his power. And we all know that everything starts with speaking, and God spoke, and then there was, and God spoke, and then there is. So I've kind of been stuck on it, not stuck on it, but yes, stuck on it. He keeps taking me there for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I've shared different places about it. So Sunday I did a church service, and when I got there, I never go prepared with a subject. I just can't can my messages anymore. Whatever for me, that's what it's like. It's like I've became so used to just listening to Holy Spirit and listening to what He says and then speak it. But I kind of knew that Hebrews 1, verse 3 was going to be kind of the starting point of this message. When I got there and I got up and I began to talk about the difference between the word of his power and the power of his word, you know, because everybody tends to only look at the logos when it's looking at those scriptures instead of recognizing it's the spoken word that creates. It's the rhema word. So I started there. But God stopped me, and I looked around and I went, how many of God's commands, God's promises, and how much of God's provision do we need to ignore to stay in our comfort zones? How many of the commands do we put on other people with excuses, that's not for me, so that we can stay in our comfort zone? How much of God's kingdom and our responsibility in God's kingdom do we avoid so that we can stay in our comfort zone? When I spoke what I did, which is, I can't speak it the same again, it's because it wasn't, it was for then and this is now, so it's, I'm speaking it a little different. But the reality to me is, you know, God promised to give us the desires of our heart. And we pray and we go, God, we want your will done. God, we want to see you. We want to know you. We want your glory to show up. All of which are about our enjoyment. And, you know, it's like, every time we get around God, we want him to have a party with us rather than live life with us. So how much do we have to ignore is not relevant? How many of his commands in the New Testament, the resurrection commands, there's one in each of the four Gospels. How much of those do we have to ignore to stay in our comfort zone and yet find a place where we believe we're in the right place with God? It just amazes me, even in myself, as an example, you know, I go to an area and I see people and I will instantly, with some of them, I'll pray, God, remove them from this country. remove them, or just move them someplace else, rather than take God's love to them and have to walk in a place of intimacy with God where I can actually touch him. I will pray prayers so that I can avoid the interaction. And yet, all over the world, I interact with people. I do those things, and I intentionally encounter them. I intentionally encounter where they're at to bring them the love of God, bring them the freedom of God, bring them revelation that God knows where they're at, and he wants them to be free. So in the midst of everything that God is saying, there's this thing about church that he told me that I could no longer call church traditional. He said it is institutional. And instantly my mind I just see all of the things that we teach by attitudes and behaviors and innuendos and that put people in a place of being institutionalized. Institutionalized is a place where you fear breaking the rules because, you know, it's like the peer pressure is just incredibly heavy in institutional situations to bow your knee to whatever it is that they tell you you must do. Because if you don't, everybody else is going to suffer. You know, all anybody there is going to suffer because of your willingness to break one of the spoken or unspoken rules of institutional living. So God is showing me that much of what we do with new believers is institutionalizing them. Well, why aren't you in church on Sunday? Well, you know, we have a men's meeting. Well, where were you? We had a meeting. What are you doing? You know, and it's like our life becomes second to having the approval of those who don't even realize that they are actually institutionalizing not just the person they're talking to, but themselves. You know, the Son came to set us free. He came to cause us to walk in freedom. Walking in freedom doesn't give you the right to do what you want. It gives you the responsibility to do what is right. It gives you the power to and responsibility to do what is right. But in it there is not a bowing my knee to an institutional idea that produces no life. So I kept going back to the place of asking the question, how many of God's words to us and God's hunger for us to obey willingly, I should put it this way, compulsive obedience is a part of every relationship. There is no relationship that there isn't a need of the relationship. And the parties that are involved in the relationship are compelled because of their desire for the relationship to do things that the other party loves. You know, God promises to give us the desires of our heart. And for years I prayed that because I was a good charismatic Christian, you know, and you promised to give us the desires of our heart. You promised to give us the desires of our heart. We're always holding that scripture up in his face. And one day I'm by myself and I'm praying that, and God says, you know, he says, I did promise to give you the desires of my heart. And I did tell you that I was holy and I wanted you to be holy as I was holy. Holy is just that of being set apart unto something. I am holy about my coffee. I am set apart that it's going to be the best coffee. You know, we try to make holiness into something that it's not, but it is being consecrated unto and separated unto. God is consecrated to and set apart unto man. He tells us that what he does in his creation is for man. So in the midst of this conversation where he's telling me, yeah, I did. So why do you keep reminding me of it? He says, what if you were going to be like me? What would you do? And it hit me. I knew exactly what he was saying. And he says, God, how can I satisfy the desires of your heart with my life today? He tells us to live today. Tomorrow has enough worries to yesterday. Today is, you just live today. So I'm saying to him, when I discovered this, I went, Lord, how may I fulfill the desire of your heart today? And he says, well, what are my desires? Do you know what my desires are? And I says, yes, you want to seek and save the lost, destroy the works of the devil. Okay. So then, what are you doing? Well, I'm praying. No, is that what I am about? Prayer is communion, communication. We're in prayer now together, Neil. What is it? How can you fulfill the desire of my heart? And it caused me to have to look at my traditions at that point and go, doing all the traditional things I do in Christ, not a single one of them except gathering together, but it isn't even gathering together in fellowship. It's gathering together and listening to others talk, for the most part. Sometimes I don't want to make a blanket statement over the church. That would be very untrue. But the reality is that how can I be about God's will and not make excuses to avoid that which I know is a commandment of his heart? He seeks and saves the lost, destroys the works of the devil. His hunger is for us to be a part of setting people free into his kingdom, where they can be all that he created us to be. You know, John 20, 21 through 23 is a huge statement condensed by John into these three scriptures that show us exactly who we should be. And yet we avoid that scripture because, yeah, that's the key. Because of what? Because we're afraid we're going to mess it up? Because we're afraid that someone will come against us and they say, who gave you the authority to do that? Because of why? What are our becauses? Because actually those are excuses. And an excuse is an invalid reason for a neglect of duty. So what is it exactly that we do in our lives? We each need to ask this. To avoid obedience to God's command, to walking in his provision and the position that he's called us to be in. What do we do to stay in a comfort zone in the midst of our disobedience? How do we justify it? Because I'm a firm believer in what James and Paul talk about. You know, that faith without works is dead. It's not faith. If there is no works, there is no faith. Well, what would be a work of faith? Figuring out how to satisfy the desire of God's heart today. Actually being a vessel of honor in the midst of this incredible, crazy world that is just turned upside down, filled with fear, filled with everything that God hates. So, how many of God's commands and God's provision and God's promises, how much of these, what are we doing to avoid being convicted? What are we doing that keeps us in our comfort zone in spite of our disobediences?